Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Hopefully, the draft whatever dust has settled. This is our official draft review. You know, we were live for all 3 days during the entirety of the draft, close to 15 hours live, which was awesome and so incredibly thankful for those of you that joined us. I don't even know how many unique viewers we had, but it was in the thousands upon thousands, which was great. Extremely honored. I'm wore out, but we haven't done the kind of podcast original draft review yet. Obviously, we covered a lot of that in the live stream, but there's a lot of debate going out. How horrible the 49ers drafted versus, well, they do their own thing. I want to provide a lot of context and kind of like what we usually do on the 49ers Rush podcast, a nuanced take, if that is allowed. I feel like whenever I'm pissing off the hardcore angry fans and the bootlickers, it's a good thing. Like, and whatever fan you are, that's fine. I'm not telling you to be different. You be the fan that you enjoy to be. But whenever I get pushback or angry messages, DMs, emails, Twitter conversations from both sides, I feel like, kind of doing something right, maybe. And so we're going to go through, you know, the consensus board. Is it horrible what the Niners do? I don't think that it is. I don't agree with it at all. But I want to talk about why the 49ers are where they are. Now, we do have two draft breakdowns up. I've been up since the early morning. Could not sleep. I was just too excited. So we have draft breakdowns up currently on the 49ersrush.com and our 49ers player breakdown section. It is also up on our Patreon. We've got Deshaun Stribling tape, all 22 game tape, not highlights. Highlights are wonderful. Go watch highlights. It's fun. And I'll constantly say this. If you are a person that is frustrated with the draft, go watch highlights. It will make you feel better about the future. That's not really our job here. Our job here is to educate and break down the goods, bads, everything about that. So Deshaun Stribling, we've got a full game tape up of him. Run blocking, you know, route tree, you name it, all the good, bad, and the ugly. And Romello Height, the second selected player in the third round, who I really, really like. And I like both those players a lot. Like I like Deshaun Stribling. I like Romello Height. I think they are perfect fits. Romello Height wasn't a reach at all. We'll talk more about that later. But go watch those game tapes. Trust me, you will walk away with a better understanding of, one, why the 49ers were so high on both those players, two, how they will be used. Very similar situations that they're both going to kind of be fitting in. So, you know, I'm very, very positive on Stribling, very, very positive on Romello Height. After that, that's where it starts to get a little bit shaky. And probably where the majority of the debate is going to kind of pick up, because, and rightfully so, criticism is a good thing. Let me just start off by saying that, like, it's okay to criticize sports front offices. I love Kyle Shanahan. I'm very thankful he's the 49ers coach. Doesn't mean he's infallible or perfect or doesn't make mistakes. He's made a lot of mistakes. But it doesn't mean that he should be fired either. Like, it's okay to be in the middle. It is okay. So this is episode 1639. We've been doing this for a little while. And we're not the big knee-jerk reaction, whatever. But, you know, we'll go through that. I have to say thank you to Corey Robbins. Got to have a good time with Susan and Corey. They're executive producers of the show. They were passing through town. We had dinner last night, which was really, really great. 49ers George 365 and David Gill, the executive producers of the show. Love all the hashtag CCs right here. Aaron says, make it make sense, John. I'm not a salesman. That's not what I am. Now, the pillars of the 49ers Rush podcast is to increase your fan experience, to educate you, and to provide a community for you to get to know other people. The 49ers Rush road trips, all those things. We have a Zoom hangout tomorrow. So again, for our Patreon and the 49ers Rush subscribers, I haven't posted the link yet. I've been very, very busy, but I will get that posted tonight or tomorrow. Zoom hangout, man. We're going to be 5 p.m. tomorrow, Monday night. We'll be hanging out and going over this thing. This is where I get to hear from you one-on-one, all that kind of stuff. So join us. If you've never joined us, we got 7-day free trial. Go sign up, watch the breakdowns, come hang out in the Zoom hangout. Enjoy us. And again, if you don't, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, cancel won't cost you a penny. If you do like it, that's how I feed the family. Stick around and support us. So if my job, self-proclaimed job, is to make your fan experience better, I don't think that I'm supposed to sit here and sell you on these draft picks. Some of them you don't have to sell. Okay. So let's, I'm going to star this and come back to it because I'm already way behind in the chat. What's up, George? Man, what's up? The great Ghostface says, I never catch these. Hashtag CCs. What's up, man? Stay strong, faithful. Educate us, JC. I don't know about that. but I will say this. Like, it's easy to kind of doom and gloom with the way the draft process went with all the trade backs, built up anticipation, and then just kind of like, oh, really? Like, that's what we did? And I understand why people get upset. Shout out to Josh, one of our freaking best part of our team, if there ever was one. He helped so much with the draft process. Really appreciate you, brother. And yeah, everybody's chilled now. I disagree with that. And Josh says he loves the hype pick personally. I do too. Love you guys. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not a big draft grade guy. I'd give it a C probably as well. But they haven't even played yet. So, like, the grade is basically against what the consensus overall feel of where the players drafted went. So, like, what does that mean? It means the 49ers reached on a whole bunch of picks. And you can have John Lynch talk about, well, we didn't reach. We had consensus in-house and all that kind of stuff. And, like, that's okay. Teams should do what they feel convicted about doing. You shouldn't be pressured into it. The problem that so many people have is just the arrogance that comes across from the 49ers front office and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and even their scout press conference. Like, dude, it is, we are smarter than everybody else. That is the aura that they put out there. Whenever there's any pushback, it's kind of like, well, we're smarter than you, which that is how they build their board. Now, there's nothing wrong with operating that way, but you bring on criticism. Whenever you are that way, you just open up the door for people to poke and poke and poke. That's just the way the world works. And so they've brought this upon themselves. Whenever you trade up so many times and draft third round running backs over and over and over and over again, and none of them ever work, and every single guy that you drafted that was there, all five of them, you drafted two rounds before they were supposed to be picked. Kalen Black, you drafted five rounds before he was supposed to be picked. I have not seen one person have above a six-round grade of them, but that's okay. If that's your guy, cool. You need to be criticized for that, right? So, like, again, 49ers are 0-5 on these kind of third round running backs. They haven't hit on one. They haven't even got close to one, right? Joe Williams, who they traded up for, was the top of the fourth. Miss. Trey Sermon, they traded multiple stuff. Miss. Ty Davis Price, complete miss. Isaac Garrido, complete miss. Elijah Mitchell, six rounder. All right, cool. Like, he was good. Couldn't stay healthy, but, like, whatever. You haven't hit on one. Now, Jordan James, I don't even count in this discussion because Jordan James went where Jordan James was supposed to go, which was the fifth round. It's all the other guys in the third and fourth round. Like, Elijah Mitchell in the sixth round. There's no, your best two picks of all the running backs were when you waited. When you waited. Elijah Mitchell, Jordan James, no issues. It's the third, fourth round guys that you, like, nobody else had. Nobody was going to get Joe Williams. He had major off the field issues. Never even got one carry. How do you trade up in the third round for a running back, fourth round, and him not even get a carry with the team? So you should analyze, adjust and move forward. How do you do that? You go get Trey Sermon. Didn't work out. All right, cool. All right, let's learn. Oh, then you go get Ty Davis Price. Nobody had Ty Davis Price. Several rounds. Not even close. Not even close. All right, cool. Isaac Grindo, you kind of got Grindo where he was slated to go, so that's a little bit different. I was never a Grindo fan, but I hoped, you know, there were a couple glimpses. Just, it's hard to draft a running back so early when he's never even started a game in college and had injuries for five consecutive years. And guess what? That's exactly what happened whenever he got to the 49ers. I do not expect him to be on this team much longer. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he turns it around, but whatever. Jordan James, late pick. You got him where he was supposed to go. And, man, a lot of promise there. A lot of promise there. And now Kalen Black. That's a four round. And I hope, like I kept saying this on the draft cover, shout out to Dr. J. He said, thanks for the weekend. Very good entertainment. Watched you instead of the broadcast. Man, yeah, a lot of people, I keep getting messages like that. It means the world to us. But I kept saying this on the broadcast. Maybe Kalen Black is Neo. Maybe he bucks the trend, right? Maybe he is the chosen one. But whenever you miss all these other ones and then you do the exact same pattern behavior, Kalen Black deserves to be treated as an isolated incident, but it raises major questions. It really, really does. And I'm a fan of Kalen Black, the person, the player. I hope he has all the success in the world. But our job here at the 49ers Rush Podcast is to break down and understand. It's hard to understand. It's hard to justify. Even if you loved him, you definitely could have waited. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Nobody. He was the third running back chosen in the entirety of the draft. Like, no matter how much you loved him, it was definitely way, 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 way early. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Now, I think the Stribling thing is different. And I think people are criticizing Stribling's pick way more than they should be. So again, I'm going to push back against that. Now, DeShon Stribling, Rush crush. I had a third round grade on. He was one of my top third round graded player. I had him in the 60s. And what's funny is I had Ricky Pearsall in the 60s. So you took Ricky Pearsall at the back end of the first round. Well, I value DeShon Stribling way more than Ricky Pearsall. And this is all hindsight, right? Not what Ricky Pearsall has done since he came into the league. I'm talking about if you just like enter into the sphere of the draft process. Delete what Ricky Pearsall has done since then, okay? Ricky Pearsall was more of an anomaly to me and frustrated me because never was an X-wide receiver. X-wide receiver is so much more valuable than Z receiver in the NFL. It's not even close. You look at what Alec Pierce and Romeo Doubs got. I think it's over $180 million combined just with those two players, neither one of which are premium X-wide receivers. They're good. They're good. Z wide receivers don't get paid that much. And you drafted Ricky Pearsall when you had Deebo Samuel making top tier money already. So, like, I like the Stribling pick. One, because I think he's a better fit. He plays a more valuable wide receiver position. I think he has more. I don't think he has more experience. But I like the Stribling pick more than the Ricky Pearsall pick. I really, really do. And so we'll have to see if that bears fruit. But it's like, this guy plays a more valuable spot. And the kind of extra on top of that is you traded back twice to get Stribling. You didn't trade back for Ricky Pearsall, and you could have, because the team that picked after you did trade back. And you can look back at the Ricky Pearsall thing and say, man, you had the Georgia kid that went to the Chargers just sitting there. You chose Ricky Pearsall over him, Ladd McConkey. Come on, man. And so people could be like, well, Omar Cooper was sitting there too. Well, different positions. Again, Omar Cooper, not an ex-wide receiver. They had Omar Cooper in-house for interviews, Topgolf, all that stuff. If they wanted him, they could have got him. I'm not saying I had Omar Cooper way ahead to Sean Stribling in my rankings, but ex-wide receiver is huge. That is a big deal. And so, like, that matters. But you traded back twice, got a lot of extra draft capital, and then took Stribling. So there is patterns of behavior here. And I kept telling everybody nonstop that, hey, guess what? They're going to be taking a wide receiver, or they are going to be taking an edge early. That's all there is to it. And people were like, man, if they do that, that's stupid. And it might be stupid. But I kept telling you guys nonstop, this is what's going to happen. And shoot, here's my proof right here. I made almost $800 betting that the first player selected by the 49ers would be a wide receiver. I threw $75 down. I made $787 on it. And I put that, whatever I made the bet, I talked about it on social media. Like, the pattern of behavior is there. And guess what? They sure enough went edge with the second pick. I don't have problems with their first and second pick. It is a reach to get Stribling, for sure. But did you get them a little bit early? You traded back two times. Do you have to trade back three times to make it worth it? Four times to make it worth it? Five times to make it worth it? Like, what is the, like, when is it like, all right, cool, you could kind of reach a little bit here. But he's a perfect 10 out of 10 fit for the 49ers for me. I don't think that it was a bad pick. I really, really don't. Now we'll see. Maybe it will be. We don't know how it goes. But I get the trading back. You picked an X wide receiver, which is very valuable. How long is Mike Evans going to be on your team? Plus, the versatility with Stribling, he can play the big slot role and he can play X. That's done. Like, you can play two valuable spots. He's not just a Z guy. And so I think that that's huge. Romello Hite, yeah, you needed a designated pass rusher. That wasn't a reach at all. I think the consensus board had him at 77. You took him 70th. Not a reach. Not a reach. Kalen Black, astronomical. And, like, you could, like, that reach is insane. Grayson Halton, not a reach. Great pick. Carver Willis, no issues. Ephesians Prysock, that was a reach. Jaden Duggar, huge reach. Enrique Cruz, huge reach. But those reaches took place in the fifth round. You didn't have any more picks. Go get your guys. The 49ers had a formula. It was get athletic. Go get athletes. Superb athletes with premium traits, arm length, height, length, whatever, weight, fill in the blank, burst, 40. Traits, elite athleticism, and experience. That was their theme. The whole, like, everybody's old as hell. I put out a Twitter clip of old guys coming out. It's like the 49ers rush, you know, or the 49ers draft class. And people got mad, but it kind of, whatever, went viral, you know. And people are like, dude, you're so negative. I'm like, dude, it's a freaking joke. Everybody's old as shit. They're 24 and 25-year-old rookies. This is crazy. Like, everybody is old. It's not a negative, but the 49ers are valuing experience, athleticism. What, like, it's okay to make that joke. It's like, if that offends a player, they shouldn't be on social media anyway, because they're going to get a lot worse. Let me kind of just step back a little bit. Appreciate you, Slick. Thanks for the super chat. I like Stribling and Hype, but I prefer staying and picking Cassius Howell and Emmanuel McNeil Warren. Forget them extra picks. F them picks. Admit, they passed on Emmanuel McNeil Warren so many times, three times, and they didn't even draft a safety. You remember when John Lynch sat up there and freaking gaslit the entire fan base talking about how they see safety as a premium position and then didn't draft one safety. Didn't even touch safety. Yeah, they don't care about the position, guys. They really, really don't. They've never drafted above the third round for a safety. I don't know if they ever will. If Dylan Thienemann was there, I don't think they would have done it. Would they even have done it for Caleb Downs? I don't know. You had an all-pro safety that wanted to stay, and you let him walk. If you cared about it, the proof is in the pudding. But yeah, so like if they would have drafted Cassius Howell and Emmanuel McNeil Warren, a lot of people would have liked this much more than what they did. But Stribling and Height, yeah, and you even said, appreciate you, Slick, that you like those picks. And yeah, like the 49ers aren't the only one that had the entire NFC West, I would argue, probably didn't have a great draft. The Seahawks plugged their holes. The Seahawks had kind of the 49ers 2020 draft where they had three major holes. They drafted those three positions and they're going to plug and play and start them. But the Seattle Seahawks didn't sign anybody in free agency. Like they made the choice, dude, we ain't got money. We're paying our own guys. We're not bringing anybody in. We're losing several starters. We're just going to do what the 49ers did in 2020, where we plug in starters with what we lost. That's what the Seattle Seahawks did. So that's a little bit easy. You don't have to be creative to see that. But the Rams, not a good draft class. The Cardinals, middle schoolers running that. That is just absolutely asinine what they did. Just dumb what they did. And maybe it pans out, but I'm sorry. Like, the Cardinals are not as serious. What's the succession line? Like, you are not serious, people. Like, it's what it is. Quinn, why do they always draft lower value picks at higher draft, you know, rounds? A lot of it has to do with the misses. I believe that. Their major misses that they've had early on, Javon Kinlaw with the injuries. All right, we're not touching anybody with injuries. Reuben Foster with the off the field. All right, we're not touching any of that. Trey Lance, ultimate miss of all misses. No experience. And so we're not drafting players that don't play football anymore. Like, since Trey Lance, and again, you look at the amount of games played by this team. Draft choice. It's off the charts. 5 years, 6 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 4 years. Like, these guys are almost ready for their second NFL contract, and they're just, they haven't even played in the NFL. This is the NIL post-COVID world. So they throw guys off their chart. And I've said for years, the 49ers have the most unique big board of all 32 teams. We never get to see it. We never will. But with the picks that they select, I would argue maybe two teams had Kalon Black in the fourth round or better. Maybe. I'd bet the under. I would be willing to bet the 49ers were the only team in the NFL. Now, there's no way to prove that. But golly, you look at Joe Williams, you look at Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Like, the guys that they like, they're going to stick with, and consequences be damned. Now, the reason why I think ownership and whatever else gives them such a pass is because they're so freaking good consistently. In spite of these major draft reaches, Kyle Shanahan is a badass MF-er coach. He's incredible. Kyle Shanahan's coaching covers up and disguises how bad drafting they are in these situations. I believe that. I wish you could maybe get a general manager that could check Kyle. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Because if you did that, Kyle Shanahan would leave because he could go to a place where he has complete control. We know how much Kyle loves control. You remember when Raheem Morris got hired and they asked John Lynch, why'd you guys hire Raheem Morris? And he goes, I don't know. You got to ask Kyle. You're the general manager. You don't even know why defensive coordinator's hired? You got to be kidding me. Now, I like John Lynch, and I think that he affects the culture, and I think there are decisions that are on his plate. But just understand the first and last decision of every decision in that building goes to Kyle Shanahan. Even at the press conference, watch anytime there's a press conference and they ask a question. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be about draft, free agency, whatever. Doesn't matter. John Lynch will look at Kyle Shanahan. Can I talk? Okay, I can talk. Okay, then he'll talk. And I know he's like nice. And so I love John Lynch. I really, really do. But he's a CEO team president type dude. That's just what he is. That's not a slight. Again, how did he get hired here? And, you know, shout out to Warren Sharp. I think he does some of the best work, you know, out there. And he's kind of at the forefront of this major conversation of, man, the 49ers are just incredible reaches that aren't paying off time and time and time and time and time again. He blamed all that on John Lynch, who is the general manager. And in a lot of cases, I totally get it. I totally get it. But this is Kyle Shanahan's thing. Now, nuanced take. Let's push back. This is the conversation. Last two draft classes, pretty damn good. Last two draft classes, it's pretty hard to find major issues with those draft. One, every single player from last year's draft class still with you. So many key contributors. You go back to the 2024 class. So many quality draft choices that are panning out. Dominique Pooney, definitely the best of that class. So it's not like they are just horrible drafters. I don't believe that. I do believe that they make their jobs harder than it should be. And this is just my opinion. You can throw it out if you want. You're here listening to my podcast. And I hope you stay. And it's okay to disagree and go back and forth. But, like, you're making it harder by operating from a stance of hubris. And I think that that is a problem. I don't think that this is a problem that will be fixed. Kyle Shanahan's going to stay here for as long as he wants to. The amount of success that you have had since he has shown up, and for those of us that remember Tom Sula, Chip Kelly, you know, Dennis Erickson, all that stuff, who've been around for a while, every time I think about Dennis Erickson, I just want to throw up. You're not going to have those types of back-to-back years with Kyle Shanahan. You're just not. You're going to have a down year and still beat the defending Super Bowl champions on the road in the playoffs. That's a Shanahan staple. The amount of road games, he has more road playoff wins than the greats already do. I think he's tied with Bill Walsh already. Like, yeah, doesn't have a Super Bowl. That is a critique. I'm not sure the reason why you don't have a Super Bowl is because of this drafting, whatever. You've gotten really unlucky. You forced 7 fumbles against the Chiefs, and you didn't recover one in the Super Bowl. That's crazy. You got to get it done. So, I don't know. I read the chat. People are really, really upset. people are really upset. And I don't know. Yeah, if you're one of the people that's just like, man, you got to get rid of Kyle Shanahan, I'm sorry. I disagree, but I'm not saying you should get rid of that thing. But after the best coaching performance that he has ever done, to have that stance because he reached on draft picks, I think is crazy. I really do. Last year's coaching performance by Kyle Shanahan was Rembrandt-esque. It was incredible. You had nothing. You're playing for the number one seed the last week of the season. Lost. Go on the road. More injuries. George Kittle tears his Achilles. You still beat the Eagles on the road to the playoffs in a crazy hostile environment. Yeah, I don't know, man. you sound crazy. I'm seeing the cuss words. I love it. Lynch needs to go. But that's the thing. Lynch is a symptom. If you fired John Lynch and brought in another general manager, which you would promote in-house, it'd probably be Josh Williams, you're not going to get a different process. It's the Kyle Shanahan show, and that's not going to change. And right here, Kyle as head coach at GM is too much power. You don't get Kyle Shanahan unless you give him the power, because he can go wherever the hell he wants. And you saw that with John Harbaugh, right? Whenever he got let go. Well, he goes to New York and they announce it and then he pulls back. Why? Because it wasn't clearly defined that he gets final say. So Joe Shane, you can stay on as general manager, but this is John Harbaugh show. And that's a fired head coach, right? And Kyle Shanahan, trust me, would be the number one every single team would say, here are the keys to the kingdom. You get to do whatever the hell you want. To get Kyle Shanahan, to get Sean McVay, to get those guys, we'll give you everything you want. I'm telling you right now. And so if you're Kyle, why would you give up power? Why? I don't understand. Why would you do that? You got to operate inside Kyle Shanahan's worldview and mindset. Like, again, here we go.
Oh, I understand. I don't think you understand.
I'm not saying I agree with them. And there are flaws. But you have to take the bumps in the road to get Kyle Shanahan. And I'm not saying, like, you should sit here and just, you know, take it. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying it ain't going to change. It's not. And if you fired Kyle Shanahan, yeah, what are you going to get? You're not getting Ben Johnson. You're not getting Ben Johnson got the same thing up there. Ryan Poles stuck around. It's a little bit different there. But, like, what's the mystery box thing with Family Guy? He's like, well, you can get a new boat. Or you can get whatever's in the mystery box, which might even be a new boat. Like, you're going to kick Shanahan out? And that's the thing. Like, so many of the people that are so mad are just like, you got to fire Kyle. Got to fire Kyle. Got to fire him. And then every single time, I'm like, who do you replace him with? And then it's just crickets. It's crickets. It's crickets. Like, you're not stealing away another head coach. You're not allowed to do that unless you trade for him. And you guys are talking about reaches. Now you're going to trade draft picks premium for a head coach. Like, I don't know. I don't disagree with you. There are flaws. And right here, Sin. Someone has to convince him that having all that power is not good. The Shanahan family, I mean, just look at the nepotism in the building by itself. Like, he surrounds himself with these guys that are his guys. And whenever one coach doesn't do what he wants to do, he's fired immediately. Look at Steve Wilkes. I'm not saying Steve Wilkes is amazing, but he sure as hell wasn't a bad. It was the last time we had a good secondary. Had top 10 defense in every single metric. We led the NFL in fourth quarter points. Yeah, I had some questionable blitzes in the playoffs that cost the Niners big time. But, yeah, I can't see. I just can't see that. I really, really can't. And so what are we doing, right? I believe in criticism. And so, like, I prefer, and I think everybody thinks they're probably in the middle on this idea. Like, you got your bootlickers, which are on, you know, social media, just like, you guys are all idiots, and ha, 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 and Kyle is the greatest ever, and we've never had a bad draft pick, and the only reason why we did is because Kyle didn't get his guy. He was forced to pick. Like, bootlickers drive me nuts. I can't engage with that type of near, like, I can't accept anything but Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are the best all the time. I can't do that. I'm sorry. I just can't. Like, I can't. There's no room for logical discussion there. And then the flip side of that is the hate clickbait group, right? Where just, it doesn't matter what happens, it all sucks. It's all negative. And that gets way more volume and whatever. Like, I'm not that guy. At least I hope I'm not. It's okay to be in the middle and to sometimes criticize and to sometimes applaud. You don't have to always be one side or the other. And there are shows out there that cater to both these groups, and that's okay. Like, that's not a bad thing. Bootlickers exist for a reason. Sometimes we just want to have cheerleaders, and that's what they are. And that's not, I do think it's a bad thing, but if that's what you need to have fun, cool. If you think we're going 16-0 every single year and every single draft pick we just got is an all-pro, cool. You haven't drafted a Pro Bowl or all-pro player in four consecutive drafts. That's a problem. That's a problem. That is a problem. Now, if you think every single pick that the 49ers took this year is an absolute bust and a reach and they don't know what the hell they're doing and everybody should be fired and they haven't had a good draft in 4 years, strongly disagree. Strongly disagree. Because every single player of the 11 guys that were drafted last year still on the roster. Upton Stout's a freaking stud in the making. Can he take steps? Dominic Pooney's awesome. Ricky Pearsall's great when he's healthy. There's a lot of guys on there that are just like, man, these are solid draft picks. And maybe they went earlier than they were supposed to be. But it's not like you've had back-to-back bad drafts. If you're – like, I want to challenge you. Look at the last two draft classes, not this one, because there's no fruit. There's no measurement there yet. It will come. Look at the last two drafts, 2025 and 2024. If you look at those drafts and say, yeah, these drafts suck, I don't know if I have anything to offer you in rebuttal, because I just think you're missing it. And maybe you're too narrowly focused on it, got too spoiled with George Kittle's and Fred Warner's and Debo's and Nick Bosa's and Dre Greenlaw's, which is crazy stretch. That is a crazy stretch of drafting that cannot be continued. It just cannot be. No team in the NFL has done that. Nobody has. But they're not bad classes at all. I don't know. A couple of comments. Kyle only listens to his dad. Maybe he should be the GM if we want to see some changes. I don't think so. Daddy Shanahan was very similar, maybe even more whatever. anyway. And yeah, there were some reaches. Yeah, Nick Martin was a reach. Upton Stout. I don't know. Maybe Upton Stout was a reach based on consensus. I thought that was about where he went, back into the third round, third to fourth round. I didn't like him as much as a lot of people because I wasn't concerned. Like, I was concerned where he would fit. Most of his stuff was outside. You didn't see him inside too much. And, man, that transition worked great. It really, really, really did. Now, let's do this. I want to spend time and step back, and let's dive into couple takeaways I had on my most recent film breakdowns of our top two players, which that's kind of the most important. And then we'll dive into some of the other players as well. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community, and all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right. Let's dive into the 49ers draft class. And you can kind of see, like, this is the relative athletic score. For those of you that are listening just audio only, the RAS, which is incredible. You can find them at MathBomb on Twitter. And it just goes through all eight of the players, and you see a lot of green. This idea that the 49ers' entire game plan goal was these hyper-athletic, hyper-experienced players. And Deshaun Stribling had a 9.57. So, like, a 9 score is crazy. Like, super, super high. Romello Height, 8.84. Kalen Black, 9.14. Grayson Halton, 8.4. The only anomaly to this list is Carver Willis at a 5.98. But he was graded as a tackle. The 49ers are moving him inside. You measure him against interior offensive lineman, I don't know what that would shoot up to, but that's going to be a higher score. Ephesians Prysock, 9.74. Jaden Duggar, 9.6. And Enrique Cruz Jr., 9.99. I think they said out of, I don't want to, he's the third highest ranked offensive tackle relative athletic score out of the last 2,000. Like, he is a freak. And I love, like, is that a reach? Hell yeah, it's a reach. Yes, that's a major reach. However, you are getting this guy that you're betting on traits. And I like that. Yeah, 9.99 score for Cruz. Like, that's a bananas off the wall stuff right there. Let's get to Deshaun Stribling. I broke down one of the Georgia tapes. And that's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon right now. Link in the description of this video podcast. Man, it's consistent tape. There were like one or two kind of bad plays that I thought, but like Ole Miss tape sucks. I hate it. And so the next game I'm going to break down, it's going to be his 2024 tape at Oklahoma State, which they still run a variant of the air raid. But gosh, I hate Ole Miss tape, man. It's so bad. RIP to all the LSU wide receivers in the future. But they're still going to be drafted. But like wide receiver U, like it's not going to be that no more. But whatever. My thing with Deshaun Stribling is just how tough and competitive he is. Now, he was never asked to run quality routes. You just don't in that scheme. You literally run to space and turn around. It's a middle school offense. Half of his production's on hitch routes. But that's what he was asked to do. Is it his fault that this is what you're asked to do? You did it. Why didn't you do this? They never asked me to do that. Now, there's nothing that says he can't become a quality route runner, which he will have to do. Jordan Watkins struggled with that. The injury set him back. The consistencies in the timing tempo offense, like what Kyle Shanahan runs, is huge. That's huge. And so, and again, you've heard Brock Purdy talk about this. Like, I want this, you know, deep comeback or deep curl or dig or whatever you want to call it. I want it, you know, 15 back to 13. I don't want it 14 back to 12. I've got to have it at 15 to 13. And if you can't do that consistently, I'm not throwing you the ball. Like, you have to get that there. You just have to. So that is a little bit of a translation that you're hoping comes about. From P.O. says, it's not about Stribling's athletic score alone. It's about the score of the player they might have taken instead. It's not personal. It's the method. Yeah, but, like, who would you have taken over him at that point at the wide receiver position? That would be my question, right? So, like, here, I'll pull up the – and we could do this now, right? Like, because – oh, man, it doesn't have him on there, does it? Yeah, it didn't go in order on there. Here, let me go to the second round. Okay, because no wide receivers went after Stribling. Denzel Boston did. I liked Boston more. I really did. He was an X. Didn't have the speed. 49ers had him in the building, and they chose, nope, we want to go with this other guy. Other wide receivers that went, man, dude, there were Jeremy Bernard. I like Jeremy Bernard. He could do a little bit of everything. Ceiling's not there. X wide receiver, questionable. He could do everything. He could do everything. Let's see. Still looking at the wide receivers. Dang, is that all that went in the second round? Only three wide receivers went in the second round. That's it. That's crazy. I mean, you traded back twice. Should they have traded back more? Probably. But, man, only three went. I did not expect that to happen. Deshaun Stribling, Denzel Boston, and Jeremy Bernard. And that was it. That was it. Could you have got him later? Possibly. I like Jeremy Bernard. I would not have been upset with that pick. I would have been upset with Denzel Boston. That's who I wanted. I understand Deshaun Stribling. I really, really do. Was it a reach? Yeah. Yeah, it was. But at least it's a 10 out of 10 on my fit scale. And he's a clean-ass prospect with experience, athletic profile. Like, what does he not have? That's the issue. Denzel Boston didn't have the athletic profile. He really, really didn't. He didn't have the speed to justify there. Maybe that comes back and, shoot, he has a great career, Jeremy Bernard does, or whatever else. There we go. Dan Case, only three went because everyone wanted Stribling. That's right. that's awesome. That is awesome. Stribling got hot late. That's why they reached. Stribling got hot. But man, you watch his, you know, I was just pulling up his, and man, shout out to, I don't want to say shout out. Pro Football Reference is my favorite website. I have it open for all sports at all times, and I'm on it nonstop. They have butchered that freaking site, and it bothers the hell out of me because it was my number one news site, and I subscribe to them. But now, like, stuff just doesn't work there anymore. I'm so mad. But I had pulled up his game logs. You look at Stribling, and they referenced this in the draft conference, post-draft conference. Man, you look at what he did during the college football playoffs against great teams. His best games were against the best opponents. That dude just turned it on. His two best games were against Georgia. that defense is as pro NFL as you're going to get in college football. And dude, twice, like just shredded them. Just shredded them. Oh, look at this, buddy boy. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. Carver Willis, RAS score as a guard would have been at 8.09. Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. So still, you know, if we're just looking at this, it's still the lowest, but that would have been green. Like, you got athletes. They drafted some athletes now. But I really like Stribling. I do. Do I think you should have took him at 33? I do not. Am I upset about it? I'm not, because you traded back twice. I am not. Like, he's a rush crush guy. You got him in house. Yeah, I don't mind it at all. The process, it's flawed. Now, look at Romello Height. Golly, his tape is fun. That dude is just jazzed up. My favorite thing about Romello Height, people can't get their hands on him. And whatever, you look at Nick Bosa, which he's not Nick Bosa. They play completely different styles. But the thing that makes Nick Bosa elite is the hand technician aspect to his game. Romello Height has that as well. And, you know, I broke down the West Virginia tape, which West Virginia is not great. And it was a blowout, like 35-0. So you got a lot of pass rush snaps because West Virginia was playing from behind the whole game. So, like, it was a fun tape because you're getting so many pass rush snaps for Romello. The burst off the line is incredible. And you got to remember, he's playing next to, you know, opposite David Bailey, who went second overall. He's a half yard to a yard ahead of him on every single get off, every single time, every single time. And then the question becomes like, well, yeah, he's playing on Texas Tech, which was like this super loaded defensive line. Daniel Onyemata. Yeah. You had, you know, Lee Hunter, you had David Bailey, you had that. Well, guess what? He's got Nick Bosa. He's got Mikael Williams. He's got Osa Odighizuwa. Alfred Collins is going to be in there. Like, he's surrounded by some very talented players in the NFL as well. So it's not like Romello Height has to step in and be the guy. No, no, no. You're just coming in and you're just rushing the passer. Now, the tape constantly shows he's pretty damn good against the run. Now, he's 6'3", 240, 6'2", 240. Small, you know, 32-inch arms. That's not terrible. But, man, like, he's a consistent run defender. I don't think you ask him to do that. But you don't ask Bryce Huff to do that. You don't ask D Ford to do that. So why would you ask him to do it? When there's injuries, Bryce Huff did have to step in and play last year and, you know, on base downs. Romello Height can do it. That's not why you drafted him, you know, 70th overall. But he can do that. The tape is consistent. Good against the run. And you see the things I like whenever I watch him, you'll see counter Trey. West Virginia is really big on that. So, like, he lines up on top of the tackle who down blocks. And so, like, if you're pass rushing, you shoot upfield. If you get the down block read, you got to squeeze. And then you got the counter Trey where the guard and tackle are pulling the backside. You got to spill with the incorrect shoulder. The upfield shoulders, what they say, wrong shoulders, what they say, because naturally you want to use your right shoulder and make them go inside, but that's what they're trying to do. So you have to go against all intuition and will and use your wrong shoulder. That's the coaching technique, and spill the play to the outside. He does it consistently well. The player IQ, there were a couple plays where they do like reverses, West Virginia, and kind of, you know, jet sweeps and bootlegs or whatever. He is a consistent counter cutback reverse backside defensive end doing his responsibility. Like, I like the player IQ that comes across, the fundamentally sound do your damn job assignments. You check that off the list with Romello Height. Like, dude, trick plays only happened 3 times a game, probably. He went 3 for 3 on them and was right where he needed to be. Hustle, that's there. This game tape was a little less hustle than I noticed in another game tape that I did of him, but it was a 35-0 game in the fourth quarter, which that's not an excuse, but the context is valuable there. That's the value there. Howie, you always ask a top 10 edge to be a 3-down player. Otherwise they aren't good enough to be a top 10 pick, except for this year, because this was the least talented draft in a couple decades. Yeah. And I think on top of that, Howie, like, the reaches make sense in a down year. this was beauties in the eye of the beholder draft, if there ever was one. It was full of yeah, buts. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah. And so, man, you go with what you're comfortable with. You go with what you're comfortable with. I think that's important. And right here, JM, that's a problem. You got to draft guys they feel can be that guy instead of complimentary garbage. Complimentary garbage, that's rough. That's way too extreme for me. Well, that's what you have. You have four defensive ends that are every down D ends. You have four. You have four of them. You don't have the speed guy. And we've seen what that speed guy can do whenever it works. When you have all your pieces, that works. And you got him in the third round. You traded back again. Yeah, I don't know. I strongly disagree with that take. 49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So, go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. Buddy, appreciate you, man. Am I the only one that feels bad for Forrester? Yeah, yes. He always has to fight for scraps at the back end of the draft. He is good at making 10 shine bright. The reason why Forrester doesn't get that stuff is because he is bought in and given Shanahan complete whatever. And I used to have the clip pulled up, but I got tired of playing it because it pisses me off every time I see it. The reason why we haven't invested premium draft capital in the offensive line is because of Chris Forrester. Because he says, man, go get those playmakers. I'll make it work with whatever. Which is valuable in and of itself. But, yeah. Now, the flip side of this. 4 out of 8 of your picks were in the trenches. 2 D-line, 2 O-line. You drafted a tackle for the first time in 5 drafts. 5 drafts the first time. It's awesome. You waited till the very last pick, fifth round pick, pick 179, but you finally got a tackle. First time. You drafted, Carver Willis, who was a tackle, but you're kicking him inside, the most 49ers thing he's ever. But you got a guard and you got a tackle. I do like that. I do not feel bad for Forster at all. I think he's a damn good coach. I really, really do. But he snipes himself and then... I don't think he hides or whatever else. I don't think he's that type of person. But, like, a lot of criticism is just like, well, you never draft any guys for him. Why don't you draft any guys for him? Eh, because he says, don't draft guys for me. Don't. So I think that's it. Robbie, thanks for the super chat, man. Fans have the privilege of criticizing every move the 49ers make. Fans don't have to carry the burden of managing cap, formulating a roster, or knowing who's getting cut in the near future. Yeah, that's definitely there, but what are we doing here? We're trying to educate and participate in a conversation slash debate to make the fan experience better. And to do that, you have to understand those things. And yeah, it's way more complex, and there's way more stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about. We don't know medical. We don't know off field. We don't know those things. We don't know personality. We don't get to spend time with these guys. That's where it is. So, like, that's part of it for sure. But, man, some things, whenever you just, like, the repeated things bring criticism. And so, and I don't think you're saying this about me, Robbie, and if you are, that's okay. Like, you know, criticizing every move. Dude, there's a lot of positives. Grayson Halton is a freaking home run pick. Like, I love that pick. I really, really do. I like the Romello hype pick. That's awesome. Deshaun Stribling, I'm glad he's in the building. Definitely would not have picked him at 33 overall. But, man, it's that's kind of what you got. It's what you got. Now, Kalen Black, it was a need. You needed a running back. You needed a running back. You probably need another running back. But, yeah, I cannot wrap myself around. Now, running back tape is the easiest to fall in love with, right? Because the ball's in their hand. Does he have good plays or not? You're on Indiana, undefeated national championship team with a quality offensive line, you know, Heisman Trophy, first overall pick quarterback, great coach, great play caller. Great, 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 great. The highlights are easy. The player, I hope, pans out. You drafted a 25-year-old running back that didn't even start at James Madison. That's the crazy thing. Like, this dude didn't start at James Madison? Like, really? That's crazy to me. This dude took 4 years at James Madison to become the starter. Help me understand that. Not even to become a starter. For the first 2 years, he played 5 games combined. What? Like, he had a knee issue. Okay, cool. But, like, so then after the knee issue in 2022, your third year in James Madison, you got one start. That's an issue. Like, James Madison is not a powerhouse. They're a damn good football program. Incredible, and I know they were in the college football playoff. I get that. You're in the NFL now. There's just a lot of shades of Isaac Garrido. Like, dude, if you can't be a guy of running back when you're 23 years old at James Madison, what is happening? What is happening? I don't know. That's rough for me. Right here, Howie, 49ers rush. Who should the 49ers have taken at 33? You know, we were live. So, and we're posting the clip. Shout out to Eric Meisner, who runs our social media. He's cutting up the clips for us from our live broadcast. You know, my pick that I would have taken Denzel Boston or Cassius Howell. Denzel Boston was the highest player on my board. I don't have a problem with Deshaun Stribling there. I really, really don't. I would have taken Denzel Boston. But you know, take that for what you want. Monkey Boy, does he have better vision than Mr. Magoo? Talking about Isaac Garrido, yeah, that's a given. Literally the worst vision I've ever seen from a running back in the history of watching football and coaching football and playing football. Like, it was bad. And like, that was one thing you were hoping would transition and develop, but you watch him just on kickoff returns continue to run into the backs of his own players consistently. It was just like, yeah, this can't happen. Just can't happen. But guess what? Kept happening, kept happening, kept happening. We'll see what happens after that. Now, and again, like, I'll just put this up there now. Like, I don't want to say more fuel to the fire. This is from Jack Lichtenstein. And basically what they do is they use over the cap consensus big board ranks, and they ranked all 32 teams on basically how they drafted versus consensus. Okay. And so just to put this into perspective, teams 1 through 32, the Colts are first, and the 49ers are last by a wide margin. Like, there's nobody even in the – they had to expand the graph to fit the 49ers in, because like you had the Jags, the Texans, the Dolphins, who were the bottom four. The 49ers are a full two-thirds, you know, or a full third expanded past that. Because I know some people are listening to this podcast, not watching. Like, it's just a visual representation of just the gross reaches against consensus. Now, if you don't give a shit about consensus, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just saying this is from a consensus understanding. You can kind of see how batshit crazy the approach is. And it's okay to disagree with this and just shrug your shoulders and say, who cares? I don't care about that. That's okay. But it is just kind of like, damn. That is, and so you have, let me count the teams that are positive. 13 teams graded positive. The Chiefs are right at 50-50. And then the rest of the teams are negative or reachers whenever it comes to, you know, just against consensus, but that's okay. But it's not like this is the first or second or third or fourth draft where they've done this. This is something that they have continued to do time and time and time and time and time and time and time again. It's so like, yeah. yeah. So like, and I didn't make these. Now here's a pretty cool one that I like. This shows the next gen stats draft class rankings, and it's divided into four quadrants, right? Top left is less traits, more production. The Rams are the most, how do I say this? They drafted the worst athletes. That's what the Rams do. They don't target athletic players. They are the furthest left on this entire scale. They do not care about athleticism. They care about football players, and that's just what they want. Okay? Now, the top right of this quadrant is more traits, more production. This is where the Cardinals fall. This is where the Eagles fall, the Browns, Raiders. The team that drafts the highest production score, what they did in college, is the Jets. I don't think you want a lot in common with that, but whatever. Now, the bottom left hand is less traits, less production. Lions, Falcons, Jaguars, Bengals, Cowboys. The Seahawks are right on this plane. And then the final quadrant where the 49ers are, more traits, but less production. And the 49ers are the third heaviest traits-based, athletic-based drafting team. You have the Bears, the Bills, and the Niners. Bears, Bills, Niners, whenever it comes to traits, athleticism, that raw athletic score chart I showed you. Now, production-wise, they're a little bit below. Let's see here. You, as far as least amount of production drafted, Steelers, you've got Patriots, Bears, and then you've got the Titans, Bills, Niners. That's where they are. And so, like, a part of that is, you know, you're drafting guys that the production's there, but consistent production, not so much, because these guys are old and they've been like Romello Hyde. Four separate teams. Like, it took them a while to get to that spot. John Stribling, three separate teams. Dude, you're drafting running backs that didn't produce at James Madison, right? Like, and I want to say shout out to Stephen Patton of at Patton Analytics. He's the one that put that up there. He does it every year. I think it's interesting. I think it's just more context to these eight players that you brought on. And, you know, I'm going to continue breaking down more draft prospects. I think I just got through texting Crocker. I should be on Locked On tonight. Okay, cool. I think I'm going to be on Locked On tonight to talk about a little bit of this stuff more. So if you want more of a kind of panel discussion with me, Peacock, and Crocker, that'd be on the Locked On episode. I think tonight might air tomorrow. I don't know how their schedule goes. I think they're doing everything live now. But we'll be on there later on tonight. And then the other prospects, dude, I'm going as I go through tape. And so I've already got two of those done. Caitlin blocks next. We're just going straight down the entirety of the draft, you know, order. And so if you want to see those, go. And again, if you're pissed and angry, go watch highlights. If you want to learn and have a structured, contextual understanding of these players, go watch our Patreon. Go watch the 49ersrush.com. We don't skip plays. We don't pick and choose. We show game tape. Game tape. Highlights, that's like reading somebody's dating profile that they made for themselves. You only get the best of the best. No negatives. Game tape, that's like interviewing their exes, families, former employees, background check, you name it. You get it all. So I challenge you, before you, like, you know, go, and if you want to go to social media and trash people for their takes and whatever, I get those people all the time. They're not my favorite people. They're not getting Christmas cards from me. But, like, have an intelligent conversation. Watch tape. Trust me. You'll figure out, like, oh, yeah, this is an issue. Okay, that's good. And even if you don't know what you're looking at, just watch the tape, and you'll be like, huh, it's kind of weird that he does that. Oh, man, I like it when he does that. And so it your knowledge will grow as you do that. And I walk you through every play. It's not like I just put the tape up. You see my stupid red face and showing and, you know, using my cursor, should do this, wish you would have done that. This is good. This is bad. And so I show you those things. So join us over there, please, please, please. And again, we got our Patreon Zoom hangout, Jerry Rice here at Above tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Hopefully you're going to see my man Yacek there. How many of the teams that draft according to consensus are considered legitimate contenders? Ooh, that is a good question. That is a good question. So let's put this thing back. And again, this only takes into account the 2025 thing. So the Colts, not considered contenders. I think, and that's the thing. Chris Ballard, I think, is the worst general manager in football. I think he sucks. He won this chart. I'm not saying you should win consensus all the time. That's not what I'm saying at all. Lucy agrees with me on Chris Ballard, the French Bulldog. I don't even agree with that. But then you look at, man, my dog is going crazy, crazy. Lucy, girl, come on now. Sorry about that. I knew I shouldn't have kept my door open. But like, just because you draft value doesn't mean you're good at drafting. That's not what it is. So, like, again, similar, bootlickers are wrong. Hate clickbait, they're wrong. The extreme reachers are wrong. The extreme value drafters are wrong. I'm not saying that you have to win this thing. Chris Ballard sucks. He's terrible. Now, Panthers, yeah, won their division, almost beat the Rams in the playoffs. Giants, no, but they got a new coach, so that's different. It's a rebuilding program. Tampa Bay, yeah, one of the best general managers in the NFL. Todd Light, yeah, he's amazing. You look at the Ravens, yeah, obviously didn't make the playoffs last year, one of the best drafting teams. Raiders, that's a weird situation, right? Because you got a new head coach, new quarterback, new Tom Brady. So, like, they're definitely not there. Now, Browns, they're not. Bengals, they are. Cowboys are not. Falcons, on the cusp. Bills are. Patriots are. Chiefs are. Rams right there. So, like, yeah. And you're going to find whatever you want in this chart. Like, I'm not putting this up there to condemn or to whatever. It's just, It's another data point. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. But, like, don't be Chris Ballard. That dude sucks. He's so bad. Right here, the 10XU. I would have taken Brazel over Stribling. Panthers have McMillan and Brazel now. Yeah, I mean, they've got a tight. They've got a tight. So we'll continue these discussions as the film breakdowns come in. I have more to offer on each player. I don't want to give uneducated takes, which it probably did several times this episode. But I got to dive into more tape as we talk about more players. So we'll have draft breakdowns up of every single player in the 40 Irons draft class before this week's up. We'll get it done. You guys are the best. Have to say thank you again to David Gill, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. Always good times. You guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.